Turn with me in your Bibles this morning for our scripture reading to the book of 1 Corinthians and the 15th chapter. We're continuing this morning in our study of the Beatitudes of Revelation, and we'll be in the 14th chapter of Revelation this week. But for our scripture reading, I would like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that was written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Let us bow for prayer. Gracious Father, now may you open your word to our hearts, open our hearts to your word. Show us great truths. Lord, encourage us through the passage we consider this morning. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice that there is an insert in your bulletin this morning. And those of you online, it is available for you as well. On one side are the seven Beatitudes from Revelation. I would encourage you to take this and stuff it in your Bible and read over these again and again and again throughout the week. Also, let me put a plug in for your scripture reading. If you're on the reading schedule today, you should finish Genesis 41 before midnight. And I hope you're reading through the Bible this year. But on the other side is Lord's Day 1 from the Heidelberg Catechism, and it is very apt to our text for this morning. Our text for this morning is going to be Revelation 14 and verse 14, where we read these words, And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. If you look with me at the bulletin insert, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, the Heidelberg is divided into 52 readings, one for each Lord's Day of the year. The Heidelberg Catechism, in its first question, asks this, What is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer to this question is something that the world knows nothing of, because the world doesn't have any comfort in life, and the world doesn't have any comfort in death. The world is nasty. And the world is sad. The world is chaotic. The world is lacking in peace. Men say, peace, peace, but there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. But consider the answer that is given, and I've given you the scripture references there as well. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is this, that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you sick? You don't own the body that you live in. Are you healthy? You don't own the body that you live in. You see, we belong body and soul in life and in death to the Savior. And it continues, He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood. And has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ by His Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life. And makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him.
Glory.
Now with that glorious statement written by man and yet fully founded in Scripture, consider the text we hear this morning. Revelation 14 verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, the Spirit saith that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. How can it be that blessed are the dead that die in the Lord? First of all, this morning, I would submit to you that blessed are the dead that die in the Lord because God has declared them to be blessed. God declares them to be so. There are many things that are declared to be that we may tend to disagree with. There are many things that are stated as fact, and yet we can find all kinds of reasons to say it's not true. And yet facts are stubborn things. Facts are facts. Man did not say, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. It says, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. And this phrase, I heard a voice from heaven, is very significant. It's found seven times in the book of Revelation, but only found about 15 times total in the New Testament. And of the 15 times in the New Testament, five of those are repeating the words at the baptism of Christ. And there came a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then again, 6 days before the Passover, when Christ says, glorify thy name, and God says, we find a voice came from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it. And then the only other time we find a voice coming from heaven here in the New Testament is when Peter sees the great sheet come down from heaven. And the voice comes from heaven and says, Peter, arise, kill and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. The voice comes again, what I've called clean, call not unclean. And so, folks, this is a very rare and significant thing when an actual voice comes from heaven. How do we know that the dead that die in the Lord are blessed? God said it.
Right.
A voice came from heaven to say this. And the voice said, write it down. Record it. Don't let it get missed. Don't let it be forgotten. A voice came from heaven. But I would point out to you also that we find a glorious picture of the Trinity here in this verse. From chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, we know that Jesus Christ is the one that is speaking this verse, this book. John sees one like unto the Son of Man walking among the seven churches, and it is that one walking among the candlesticks that is the one speaking. But here, it's not Jesus that is speaking. This is a voice that comes down from heaven. God the Father has taken over the voice here. But then look what he says. Blessed are they which die in the Lord, that die in Christ. So now the Father is speaking, Blessed are those that die in the Lord, that die in my Son. Yea, the Spirit saith from henceforth, they are blessed. And so, folks, the world looks at death as a great tragedy. The child of God looks at death as a great victory. The world looks at death as the ending of all things. The child of God looks at death as the beginning of all things. The world looks at death as a great sorrow. But the child of God looks at it and says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. We read there from 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? Death is swallowed up in victory. There, the Apostle Paul was simply quoting the Old Testament in Isaiah 25 and verse 18. He will swallow death in victory, and the Lord shall wipe away tears from all faces. Now, are we saying that believers have a death wish? Are we saying that believers just want to die? No, not at all. Not at all. That's not what the passage is saying. Turn with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 1. The book of Philippians in chapter 1. And there, beginning in verse 21 of Philippians, we find these words. This is the Apostle Paul speaking under divine inspiration. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, that's absolutely true. To live, I live this morning because Christ gives me breath. In Him we live and move and have our being. And we know as the children of God, to die is gain. Verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance of your joy and your faith. See, the child of God, as we saw there in the Heidelberg Catechism, I don't own my body and I don't own my soul. I belong wholly, body and soul, to Christ. We're not saying that the child of God has a death wish, but rather the child of God realizes every day, every second of my life here on earth is ordained by God. And Paul said, I would rather get out of all these problems. Remember, he said, that which comes to me daily, the care of all the churches. I would rather leave the infirmity of the flesh behind, for which I prayed 3 times, and God said, my grace is sufficient. I would rather leave these things behind, but for you it is needful. Nevertheless, verse 24, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know what? The child of God does not die a second before God ordains. And the child of God does not live a second longer than God ordains. And therefore, when we realize that we are not our own, it's not that we have a death wish. It's not that God's people are suicidal. But we realize, I don't have to worry about this. God's got it, as our brother says. It's in His hands. And so, returning to our text, God declares that blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. God declares it to be so. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but I would not that ye should be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Why does the world view death as a great tragedy? Because they're hopeless. Why does the world view death as an ending? Because they're hopeless. Why does the unbeliever approach death with such sorrow? Because they have no hope. And so, first of all, we find... Let's go one more thing before we move on. Balaam. Remember Balaam? Balak calls Balaam to curse God's people. And finally, God says, go with him But in number 22, verse 12, thou shalt go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And again in Numbers 23 and verse 20, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. God declares blessed, and therefore the dead that die in the Lord are blessed. But secondly, they're blessed because they die in the Lord. They die in the Lord. And I would say to you, that a man that dies without the Lord is not blessed. Right. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You see, to live is Christ and to die is gain, only for those that die in Christ. To live is Christ, but to die without Christ is not gain. To die without Christ is eternity of torment. But blessed are those that die in the Lord. Look at the context here in Revelation 14. We're looking at the 13th verse. But look up to verse 11, or verse 9 of Revelation chapter 14, the same chapter. Revelation 14 and verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the smoke, in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark in his name. And folks, I'm not going to get deeply into the theology of eschatology here, but other than say this, that this is not simply an end-time prophecy. The beast has not been revealed, but since the time of Christ, there have been men guilty of this sin, who have worshipped this same beast, who have taken the mark of this same beast figuratively upon their forehead, because their minds were nothing of Christ, and figuratively upon their hands, for their hands have done, I said minds nothing but Christ, their minds were on nothing but Satan himself. And their hands did nothing but the works of Satan. And that is what the passage is talking about. It's not purely something that's going to, some beast that's going to be revealed someday. But rather, it's speaking of those who have worshipped Satan from the foundation of the world and continue to do so, and the smoke of their torment goeth up forever. But Jehovah says from heaven, blessed are those who die in my Son. And the Spirit echoes the cheer, from henceforth they rest from their labors. And so they're blessed because God declares them to be blessed. And they're blessed because they die in the Lord. Oh, how unblessed, how cursed are those that die without Christ.
That's right.
But dear friends, the text does not end there. For if you look again at that verse, it says, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. From henceforth. That word means they're blessed forever. It's never going to end. Oh, how the joys of this life so quickly pass away. How many children this past Christmas waited for months to get some special toy that is now broken and forgotten. Oh, how fleeting are the joys of this life. How many people have placed their entire being in the pursuit of some advancement in their employment and then been laid off 3 months later. Oh, how many people have invested and scraped and saved for a retirement that when retirement came, it was gone. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Mm-hmm.
But we find here that these which die in the Lord are blessed from henceforth. They are blessed forevermore. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But remember our Heidelberg Catechism, which said that we belong body and soul to the Lord. Christ says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your mansion to have vinyl siding or brick? Folks, there's no brick and vinyl siding and double-pane, argon-filled windows in heaven. You don't need some place to go sleep. You're not going to have friends over for dinner. Folks, there's this idea that I'm going to have this big brick-and-mortar mansion in heaven. For what? For what? But you compare that passage with 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven.
That's right.
You see, for the child of God, I've declared this body, with all its sickness, with all its pain, with all its sorrow, is not mine, and I exchange it for a new body that isn't subject to sin, that never knows pain or sickness or sorrow. Brethren, from henceforth. And when does henceforth begin? Does henceforth begin when I lay this body aside? Or does henceforth begin from the time God declared it to be so? Did not the henceforth begin when Christ and God the Father were speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos? Oh yes, and these we groan. And I'm ready to give it up. But to depart is to live is Christ and to die is gain. For you it's more needful. God still has work for me to do here. But I know that my blessing is coming. And so they are blessed because God declares it to be so. And they are blessed because they die in the Lord. But then thirdly, those who die in Christ are blessed because they rest from their labors. And obviously, the first reference here is to those that no longer live in a mortal body. Those that no longer live in these mortal bodies of sin, they have rested from their labors. Revelation 6, verse 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. The psalmist gave a blessed testimony of this in Psalm 73, verse 24 and following. There the psalmist said, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me up into glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for evermore. You see, those that have left this mortal body, they have indeed rested from their labors. And again, in 2 Corinthians, Paul said, we are confident, saying, rather willing to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But here we must pause as well Remember the psalm, let me read the verse again from the psalmist in Psalm 73:24. He said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" The psalmist said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" This is the same David who said of his son, "He shall not come to me, but I shall go to him." And here again, maybe we need to touch on a bit of errant theology or errant opinion. And I say this gently because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. That's not my intent here. But folks, grandmother is not watching over you.
Right.
Those that have gone on, they have rested from their labors. And though I believe the saints in heaven are aware of what's going on in heaven, they just don't care. It's no longer their concern. They have rested from their labors. And when you're protected in some dangerous situation, it's not that Grandpop came down and helped you out.
Right.
You do not find that in the Word of God. And my mother used to say, if the people in heaven were concerned with what's going on earth, heaven would not be heaven.
Right.
If they're up there looking at all the evil of this world, heaven's not, you know, those things don't enter into heaven. It's a place of peace with God and rest in Him. It's a place devoted to His glory. And in Isaiah 65, verse 17, "For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor come in to the mind." And so, those that have left this earthly body, they truly rest. They don't care who the next president is. They don't care about inflation. They don't care about what somebody's saying, this, that, and the other. They're not worried about the Muslims or anybody else. They have blessed rest. But folks, those that didn't die in the Lord, no, the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever. Their labors never cease. But folks, I believe there's even more here. "Because I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 10. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God, for he that hath entered into his rest hath ceased from his own labors, as God did from his." Folks, I still live in this body, and yet I am dead with Christ. "And therefore I have ceased from my own labors. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Christ was speaking to the living, not to the dead. What a glorious truth! That even while I live in this body, I have ceased from my own labors. The labors I do, not the labor of my hand, can fulfill thy law's command, as the hymn says. The labor that I do is not mine, it's his. I'm not working myself, I'm working for him. I'm not trying to earn my salvation. Jesus paid it all. I have ceased from my labors of sin. And folks, I labored under sin for many years. And I did my best to be my best, and all my best was filthy rags. But what grace, what mercy to the child of God who has died with Christ and has ceased from his own labors to rest in Christ. Folks, if you are still laboring for salvation, I urge you, rest in Christ. If you have grown up with the gospel and yet find yourself in doubt to your own very salvation, rest in Him. Quit your work and rest in Him. For blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. They rest from their labors. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Dead men walking are truly what the believers are. The living believer is no longer the bondservant of sin, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so we've seen that those that die in the Lord are blessed because God has declared it to be so. Those that die in the Lord are blessed because it is in the Lord they die. Those that die in the Lord are blessed because they rest from their labor. But finally, those that die in the Lord are blessed because their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. We read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we find here that their works do follow them. Hebrews 6, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you showed toward his name, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink in my name because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. You see, our service that the righteous, the service that the righteous has done for the kingdom of heaven is rewarded. The king is not going to forget your reward. Their works do follow them. The trials that the believer has suffered for the kingdom of heaven are not forgotten. Remember Moses, who esteemed the riches of Christ greater treasures than the treasures of heaven, because he had respect unto the recompense of reward. But folks, beyond that, the losses that the servants of the king suffer will not go unpaid. The losses that the servant of God suffer will not go unpaid. We've left this world behind. And I'm sure every one of us can think of some believer who could have been a very, very, very wealthy person in the service of sin. Who could have laid up massive treasures on earth if the priorities had not been heaven. Folks, our God will repay their labors. Their works do follow them. Matthew 19:29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. And so, folks, indeed, what is your only comfort in life and in death? A retirement fund? Bank account? A career? What is your only comfort in life and death? The only comfort we have in life and death is I'm not my own. I have been purchased from the slave market of sin by the God of heaven. I'm not my own. I belong to him. I belong to him in this body, whether it is sick or healthy, whether it is filled with joy or filled with sorrow. This body does not belong to me. It belongs to him. He can heal it. He can kill it. It is his. In life and in death, I am not my own. I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior. He's my owner. He has fully paid for all my sin with his precious blood. Oh, the old hymn says, though my sin comes to haunt me, nevermore shall I roam. He's paid it all. There's not a one left unpaid. and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. I won't ask how many of you dig hair out of the shower drain every day. But that does not happen. Not a hair falls without the watch care of my Father. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Folks, what more do we need?
Mm-hmm.
What more peace
mm-hmm.
can we find? Amen. Let us stand for prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for thy precious word. Apply it richly to the hearts of thy people for our rebuke, for our comfort, for our strengthening, for our conformity to the image of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.